Okay, it's time for the Alex and Nick podcast. It's our second podcast in a few days, so we're back on track, back on a rigorous schedule. So, right.
Well, Avengers is still topical, considering it's at time of recording, it's still not out in America.
Yes, this is our chance. I think, yeah, this is... If we keep talking about it now, then we can let it fade out when it's come out in America. And
you thought we were done with it.
Fools. Okay, right. First of all, shall we... The money about it.
Prediction.
Yeah, so basically the report's coming in, it seems to be between 150, 200 million gross already.
In Europe.
In Europe, you know, not including America and things. And obviously America will bring in a big chunk of the money it's gonna bring in.
And
so
it's still got a couple more weeks and things, I guess.
And I can imagine the word of mouth being extremely good.
Yeah.
It's a real crowd pleaser. So I would expect to see the kind of thing that happened with Avatar, where lots of people went, but not, it wasn't kind of devastating, but then the word of mouth kind of built up and everyone went to see it as everyone was talking about how cool it was. So do you think it's going to be a financial success in the sense that it will kind of make a decent amount? Do you think it's going to be kind of an absolute blockbuster, record breaker? Do you think it will top Avatar?
I don't know if it'll top Avatar because it's big, but it doesn't have quite the same sort of, where people could just say, go and see this, it's, the 3D is phenomenal, everything looks amazing, it's like nothing you've ever seen.
Mm.
Avengers, I mean, it's something, it's new, but it's not, unless you're interested in the franchise, it's not actually sort of groundbreaking from the outside.
It's true, it might be a harder sell for people who have no interest,
yeah,
because Avatar you could just, because it's quite simple. It's quite easy to sell the story because it's quite a broad story that everyone might be interested in. Whereas Avengers, a lot of people just switch off when you say superhero.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't think any superhero films are good or
interesting. Well, and the fact that it's sort of a sequel as well
means
that some people, you know, haven't seen the others, they might say, oh, I won't understand any of it.
So what are you thinking? What kind of... Just take an arbitrary guess at how much you'll make.
Well, considering it's already done better than John Carter, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Overall.
Most films have, unfortunately.
When you throw in the States, by the end, I reckon some 800, 900 million?
800, okay. Well, I was probably going to say, I'm just going to be optimistic and say it'll break $1 billion. Just because I think that it's the kind of film where it is, I'm interested in it again. I can imagine a lot of people want to see it multiple times. And I think a lot of people will be drawn in just because word of mouth will be so positive. You know, maybe it won't be Avatar, but I think it might. I think it will get pretty close. So I'm just going to say it will break $1 billion. So that's our arbitrary guesses. If in a few weeks we're right, we can come back and crow proudly.
Yes.
The other thing I was thinking about Avengers was kind of the long-term impact of it, in the sense that I was just thinking, will the Marvel films now seem tame in comparison? Because when I think about the next Captain America or something, or the next Iron Man, it's just, will we be satisfied with just seeing one hero on screen at once now that we've had the team up? I mean, is it kind of, would you still be interested in just seeing Captain America? Would the stakes be high enough? Would it be like, well, this is good, but you know, when you see Captain America teaming up with all the others, this is kind of a pale in comparison, and you get even more of a sense where you're just waiting for Avengers 2, and these are the other films are necessary stepping stones. I mean, do you think that's something that might
happen?
Well,
the only sort
happen?
Of thing I can see in comparison would be like the comics for Avengers, because as individual comics, they still work.
Mm.
They still produce Hulk comics, Iron Man comics, Captain America strips and stuff still appear. So, I mean, that still goes, but I mean, I guess the comic fans would still go and see all the films anyway.
Yeah.
Because they're more invested in it.
But would it be a kind of like a bit of an emptier thing now? Because, you know, with the first few films, we were kind of going, well, introduction to all these cool characters.
It's building up to
this event. Finally seeing, you know, Thor on screen and stuff. And then you've got the Avengers are kind of like the big finale. Whereas now, you might be like, we've had Avengers. We know how great it was. How can we go back to just having the standalone ones? Maybe they'll mix up the characters a bit more to have
a bit of crossover, or it could end up being that it becomes more of a character driven thing.
Mm.
So that the Avengers is where they, because I mean that's going to have the biggest budget and you know more time to do all the special effects. Like you know all the others now look a little tame in special effects comparison compared to Avengers Assemble. So they might sort of say, well, if we do all the the really cool looking stuff in Avengers and the big villain and the massive special effects, and then they can sort of more focus on the character development in their and plus, you know, the film's focused on them, so that sort of lends itself to that anyway, because they're not sort of being relegated to a sixth of the screen time.
It's true, yeah. I think that's probably what I'll have to do, is, yeah, have a total change of focus and really not try and compete on the action scale, but maybe come up with, like, cleverer action scenes or more kind of emotionally satisfying ones.
Yeah. Well, didn't they say that was the plan for Iron Man 3?
Yeah, I think the producer, I can't remember his name, but he organising it all, said that they were going to try and go back to basics with Iron Man 3 and have it more about Tony Stark rather than Iron Man. Obviously, that might be a bit easier because the reason Iron Man was so successful was because for the first half of the film, there was no Iron Man. It was just, you know, Robert Downey Jr. wisecracking and stuff. I don't know if it would work as well for things like Captain America. I like Captain America a lot, but, you know, I'd be interested to see what approach they take with that. Thor, I think, is a bit different because it's such a different setting in Asgard that you can kind of...
Yeah, they can get
you
away
can have the Shakespearean elements where you do have more emotion with things like, you know, Loki and Thor's relationships. You've got that interesting dynamic you can play
Hopkins
with.
And Hopkins can flip out and stuff.
It'll be interesting. See, the other thing is whether they... With Iron Man, I was thinking, is that he almost runs... I think he's almost run out of his contract. I don't know how many films he signed up for. I thought it was about four or five, as in, like, you know, including Avengers.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Iron Man 3 is his last one, if he has one more after it. But the question is, you know, what do they do with it afterwards? Do they kind of, if he doesn't want to come back on, maybe they could entice him in. But Marvel's kind of notoriously stingy about it's how much it pays everyone. So
well, I don't know. I don't, unless they make the sort of rash decision to kill off Tony Stark.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Yeah, or at least drop him down some convenient hole so that he can be disappeared for the film. But I don't think, you know, I doubt they really want to do that. I don't think they can afford to lose him. I think this would be one time when they'd just say, we can't afford to be stingy here.
So you think they'd pay to
keep
him on?
I think they'd pay to keep him on.
But would he want to? I mean, obviously you get the thing where he knows that Iron Man kind of resurrected his career in a sense. It definitely brought him to the A-list. And, you know, he might have that sense of gratitude where he wants to stick with it because, you know, he owes the character. But on the other hand, he might think, well, you know, I have stuck around for four films. It's time for me to do something new. I'm back, you know, I'm back at the top. My choices are all open now. Would he want to stick with it? Especially since it's quite a CGI-heavy role in that a lot of it's him in the suit, so he doesn't get to do, like, a huge amount. I don't know whether it... Maybe it's fine. Maybe it's a lot different how I imagine it, but... I wonder if, you know, and if he doesn't, yeah, do they kill him off or do they recast? Would people accept it?
I don't think they could get away with it. I mean, they've got away with it with Banner, but most of the time...
But people recognise Iron Man, in terms of the public, he's the one that everyone now knows about.
That was the biggest film.
Mm.
It was the one that got two films, and Banner spends most of his time as the Hulk. I know Iron Man spends a lot of time in the suit. But
the Hulk was... kind of the smallest of all the Marvel films, so I don't think anyone really had a problem with him being recast. And also, kind of Banner, Tony Stark has some really strong personality traits that Robert Downey Jr. does really well.
Yeah.
Whereas you feel like it might be difficult for another actor to capture that.
Yeah. It's almost like you could see it being a similar thing to James Bond, though. Like, everyone says Connery's, you know, the first Bond.
Mm.
And if you look at it, it's quite a similar kind of wisecracking and being really cocky all the time.
It's true.
And they did manage to carry that on, but it was never quite the same as when, if you watch the Connery ones, you know, he is Bond.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even get the sense of that because, you know, I like Daniel Craig's Bond. And so even Connery, I like him. You know, I like Timothy Dalton as well. So,
oh, yeah, they were good Bonds.
So I thought they had
Brosnan
their merits.
Connery was still Bond.
Yeah, yeah. But the problem I was thinking is that then you kind of get that sense of disconnect where, you know, we've seen them all together in Avengers. Then we get Robert Downey Jr. for Iron Man 3. But then we get a new Iron Man for Iron Man 4 or Avengers 2 or whatever comes next. But you've still got the rest of the cast being the same. But then, you know, would that... How would it work? Would you be constantly swapping actors out and you end up, you know, with Avengers 5 having a totally new roster where there's basically no connection with the actors between the first and fifth films? Would that be satisfying? Would it be better for them to tie it off and say, right, you know, if we get Robert Downey Jr. again, we'll do two more Avengers films, kind of have a nice trilogy of those, and then start again, you know, and reboot everything and get all the different actors in.
Although, I mean, they may say, because what, the, oh, his name's gone, Captain America.
Yeah.
What's the actor's name?
Chris Evans,
that's it.
He signed up for a lot.
Yeah, he signed up for a lot, so, I mean, I'm assuming they'd want to run his contract full. So they might say, well, we'll do three Avengers, we can get Downey Jr. to agree to do, you know, the three Iron Mans, three Avengers. And his appearance at the end of Hulk.
Yeah.
And then so say, right, we've got him to do those, and then maybe stop doing the Avengers and just make a couple of Captain America films and a Thor film and maybe have a bit of crossover between those, but not do a full-on, this is the Avengers.
Yeah.
Because if they end the trilogy, the Avengers split up.
Mm.
Which I could see them doing, because that happens a lot in the comics.
Mm.
Then you just do a bit of crossover where you just go, oh yeah, Thor's coming to help Captain America out on this one, sort of, they could wisecrack about old times with Iron Man, but just not have Iron Man showing up again.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, maybe it will be fine. I mean, it'd be interesting to see how they do approach this, because it does seem that they have kind of difficulties ahead. Obviously, at the moment, you know, it's just great that Avengers has worked out so well, you know, critically and commercially. But, you know, it does seem that kind of it would be difficult to mesh all these different elements together in a way that is satisfying overall, and where you won't be just seeing some of the films as filler to get to the good stuff. You know, oh, we have to watch this next Captain America, and then after that's done, we can finally get to Avengers 2, which is what we want. You know, it would be interesting to see how they approach it. Especially if Avengers makes so much money that there's almost pressure to maybe pull it forward and have less, you know, less of a build-up. Because obviously they were establishing everything the first time, so there was kind of, you know, we've got to take our time, get everyone set up. They did that really well. Whereas, you know, say the Avengers does break all the records and gets, you know, billions of dollars, are they going to be really willing to say, right, you know, we'll make another Captain America that will make a couple hundred million, but isn't enormously popular, and then we'll have to wait another four years.
Now, if the Avengers was that successful, surely that would like springboard, especially Captain America being an iconic one out of it, maybe that would springboard that one to be a lot more successful.
It's true, I guess it's possible, and maybe, you know, it all depends on things like the directors they get and how good the films turn out, but it's just whether the Avengers' success is the fact that it had all these characters come together, but now they're together, we don't need the other films as much. I mean, I'm not saying that's what I think, but it's just, it'd be interesting whether that's how it's approached, where they think, you know, we can probably release an Avengers film every 3 years now, rather than have a long-term build-up to it. When was Iron Man, the first one, came out? It's been a long time coming.
Well, because the Hulk was 2007, and it was before that, because Iron Man appeared at the end. So,
and Captain America and Thor both came out last year.
Yeah. Thor was hinted at the end of Iron Man 2.
Right, okay. So yeah, it's been quite a long time. So it'll be interesting to see how they approach it and whether they have it all mapped out so far in advance that they won't break it, even if Avengers does make tons and tons of money. They'll say, no, we're going to take our time, make sure we still hit the emotionally satisfying parts as well. So it all works out.
I'm really intrigued to see Thor 2. Just to find out, are they going to rebuild the Bifrost? Well, because he managed to get back to Earth.
They'll definitely be going back to Earth. Natalie Portman is definitely coming back. So,
well, they found there's some way that wasn't really explained to get him to Earth.
Yeah, it was just a kind of cursory explanation. Which is fine, you know. Yeah. We didn't need a long way of doing it. That's why one of the things I'd wondered about at the start of the Avengers was how long they were going to spend establishing everyone turning up, and I was glad that, you know, with Thor, which did seem the most difficult one thing to, how are they going to get him there and get him into the Avengers, they did that well. I thought they did it quite well, but yeah, it will be interesting to see. I mean, Thor is my kind of, he's the one that I feel has the most potential in terms of being so different a superhero from the rest, like, because of the kind of, you can have that Shakespearean element to it, and those, that family dynamic that the others don't quite have. So I'm always kind of looking forward to that. Obviously, they've got the Game of Thrones director on board, one of the guys who did the Game of Thrones episodes. So I'll be interested to see that. Obviously, it's difficult whether you know these kind of directors have a strong vision for the film or whether they'll direct it, you know, competently. We've both seen Game of Thrones, and you know, it's the direction is fine. It's not like, you know, he'll be fine with it, but whether he can bring that extra special something, that kind of
that Kenneth Branagh did.
Yeah, I felt Kenneth Branagh did, where, you know, the Shakespearean experience he has clearly came through and really worked to the film's strengths.
Speaking of Game of Thrones, and, well, as a little segue to a little fact I heard about Sean Bean, the amount of times Sean Bean has died in films, he dies on average every 1.2 years.
Oh, well, I mean, like, poor Sean Bean.
Every role.
He's just really good at dying. Well, if he's cast in Avengers, then that will kind of... So, yeah, if he turns up as an agent or a superhero, unfortunately, his fate will already be sealed. That reminds me of the other big thing that I, you know, it's come earlier than we thought it would.
Yeah.
I was waiting for it this weekend coming up, but the Dark Knight Rises trailer has come out.
Yes.
And
it's pretty good.
It is very cool. The reason I was thinking, you know, it came to mind, not just because I've been waiting to talk about it from the start, but the hints that Batman will die, kind of in the same way that Sean Bean always does.
Yeah, it's Sean Bean replacing Christian Bale.
Is that, you know, they do seem to have that kind of tragic fall element to the whole trailer. The whole trailer is quite, you know, I was just thinking, very low-key. When I started watching it, I didn't think my speakers were working because the sound was so quiet, you know, until it kind of got to the middle part or whatever. So they really seem to be going for that, you know, quite emotionally charged tone going. And, you know, there was a kind of line in it where, you know, Catwoman's saying something like, you know, you've given them everything. And Batman's like, well, not yet. And it kind of all feels like it's working towards Batman making the kind of ultimate sacrifice.
And Michael Caine saying, you know, I've buried too many members of the Wayne household.
Yeah, so it's...
I won't bury you.
It'd be very interesting to see if he does get... Has there ever been a film where the superhero has been killed off?
Not to mind. I can't think of one.
No, yeah. Not certainly not like an established one from comics or, you know...
No, like The Matrix.
Yeah, I guess if you... I wouldn't count it, but if you did count it, yeah.
Yeah. He's kind of a superhero,
But yeah, I don't think... I mean, it's a very bold step. I mean, obviously we knew that he was doing it in such a way that there would be no room for, you know, sequels or another director taking over and carrying on. But, you know, it'd be interesting...
Killing
if
Batman would be a pretty...
It would, yeah, it'd be quite a conclusive way of doing that. Obviously we got... what else was in the trailer? A few more kind of action-y shots. The bridge is blowing up over Gotham. So is that, you know, maybe kind of Gotham being quarantined off, a bit like the Joker did, where he, you know, he stopped everyone, he said, you know, we're taking over the city and everyone left on it is going to be involved.
Well, then the bridge is in the first one as well.
So there's that kind of sense that, yeah, Gotham's going to be isolated once again. And also there's the bat flying vehicle Batman has, which, you know, is taking part in set pieces that are kind of, they're less grounded in realism than some of the other Batman stuff has been.
Yeah.
You know, the final shot where it's kind of flying over the building and dodging missiles seems to be the most, almost like, you know, summer blockbuster scene we've seen in the Batman films.
Yeah.
You know, in that it wouldn't look out of place in Avengers with, you know, the heli jets or whatever.
Is he trying to compete?
I don't think so. I think he's... it's a sense of progression, isn't it, that we've gone from having the Batmobile to the Batmobile and the Batpod, and now we've got
the bike.
Yeah, and then we've got the flying version now.
Yeah.
And obviously we see Catwoman's in the Bat flying machine. And, you know, that I was under the impression that she was going to be kind of a real antagonist from the first trailer where we saw her talking about the storm and stuff like that. You know, she seemed to be more of a villain. Whereas, you know, Catwoman has always been in the grey area, but from this trailer, it looks much more like she's an ally. We saw her fighting with Batman, you know, having a conversation where she seems to be urging him to, you know, save himself and not take that final step. And obviously they're having a cosy moment in the Bat. So that'll be interesting to see how they deal with it, or whether they're just showing us the nice parts and then they'll have the grey area in the film.
Have they released... what's supposed to have happened in the 8-year gap? There's a big gap between them.
Yeah, it's supposed to take place 8 years afterwards. I imagine it'll be Batman's been lying low, because obviously he's wanted for murder now. and then when Bane shows up,
because I'm surprised DC haven't jumped on it, because like for the Avengers, Marvel released loads of like prequel to the film comics and stuff.
I think the secrecy behind the film is, you know, one of those things where they just anything they write will just might be construed as spoilers, or
true.
Could they even do it without spoiling? We don't know what the film's about yet, so no. The film could tie heavily with what that period is it involves. So maybe they can't do it. I know that there is a Dark Knight Rises novel coming out pretty right. much the day after the film comes out, but they couldn't release it because obviously the plot is so heavily guarded. But yes, it'd be very interesting. I mean, again, it didn't seem like it would. I definitely get the sense that Nolan is actively trying to distance himself from the Avengers, in that, again, it didn't have any really kind of wow factor shots. Do you know what I mean? It was like, it was impressive, and I'm very excited for it just because, you know, we know how great the other films were. And, you know, Bane looks cool, and it all looks, you know, nothing looks like it's going to be a disaster. So the assumption is that it will be awesome, but it's not like that. I don't ever got the sense like I did with the Dark Knight trailers, where I was kind of getting goosebumps from seeing the Joker and the truck flipping and all these kind of incredible action scenes. And you know, I don't know whether the Dark Knight was just such a kind of big step up that you can't really match it anymore, or whether Nolan has deliberately said, right, you know, we don't want the trailer to show loads of crazy cool bits because that's what the Avengers have done. Let's try and take a different approach, because the hype is already so great that he doesn't even need to create anymore. Like, even if all the trailers were terrible, I'd still be going to see it as soon as possible. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see, or if that is the tone of the film and it is a lot more kind of reflective. And
I think the problem is that because it's, even though it's essentially a completely different style, it's still the same genre as the Avengers. Being superhero based off a comic sort of thing, so it's always going to be compared to it, especially coming out with very little time between. And it's going to have to be compared. And the Avengers, I think, pretty much regardless of how good the Dark Knight Rises will be, will always sort of come out on top in that, because it's such a, you know, it's the Dark Knight Rises, a damn good trilogy, but it's still the conventional trilogy: take a character, do three films, gradually escalating, you know, darkness in the and stuff like that,
just and being the threat and things. Yeah,
escalating that and escalating, like you said, with the vehicles and
taking a step up each time. Yeah.
So, whereas the Avengers was something completely new, you know, take five films and then link them together. So,
what do you think that in terms of the legacy each film will have?
I'm thinking the Avengers is probably going to be one of the most like defining films of the last few years.
I think in terms of as an achievement, it's incredible. And one worry I do have is that everyone will feel like they now have to go crazily all out.
Yeah.
Like the Avengers, you know, having multiple heroes and trying to raise the stakes to ridiculous levels. But I just feel like The Dark Knight Rises has the potential to be a truly great film that is acknowledged as such, in the same way that Dark Knight was kind of, everyone was really pissed off that it was snubbed by the Oscars. So I feel like it could be, maybe might be nominated for Oscars again, because the Academy wants to make up for the fact that it oversight previously.
Possibly.
Or it might be, you know, so great that it just stands on its own and, you know, has its own legacy, in the same way that Dark Knight has had its legacy, and people always compare every superhero film to The Dark Knight. You know, it might be that kind of thing, where even though I have no doubt the Avengers will have its own legacy, but just very different sorts. And in a way, I feel like The Dark Knight could be the model that Marvel could try and take with its more kind of standalone films, in that the scale isn't so enormous.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is more focused on the characters and stuff, that it'd be interesting to see.
I think it might be harder to do that with some superheroes, though, because like Batman has the thing of it could be real world. I mean, if you accept, if you accept like it's technology based and he learned to punch things really well,
yeah,
and it's not like you need mystical space juice or something.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Which lends itself to having a more realistic approach.
And Captain America, you know, they do ground it in realism in a sense, but you know, it has that the fact that it has things like the the Tesseract and
the Red Skull.
Red Skull and stuff does take it out, but I was thinking more in terms of you know, like Batman Begins, where obviously it has action and things, but a lot of it is exploring other elements as well. And, you know, the Marvel films do that to their credit. I don't think they're, you know, totally intellectually void.
No.
I think, you know, they do have stuff to say, but I never got the sense, even in the Avengers, that anything Loki had to say was as compelling as everything the Joker had to say in Dark Knight. I don't know if that's just because the Joker was such a uniquely brilliant villain that anything comes off poorly in comparison. Yeah. Maybe Bane will as well.
Well, I think that the other thing with the Joker, though, it's a really iconic villain as well. I mean, I can't think of many villains as, like, sort of, in DC even. Like, there's the Joker and Lex Luthor. There's not really anyone more iconic than that. And even in Marvel, there's a couple of villains. This is a household name villain.
I think the Joker's probably the most recognisable by everyone. Yeah. Like, you know, my parents know who he is and stuff like that. So,
and then you couple that with an amazing performance, and it's, you know, whatever Loki did was just...
Although, thinking back, I remember I said in the last podcast that I thought Loki was not a strong villain, or not as strong as he could have been, but I kind of rethought that. I think he was a great villain. I thought he had some great moments, and Tom Hiddleston's performance was great, but there were just parts where I felt like his threat was trivialised. There's a moment, we won't spoil it for you, but there is a moment where I felt like, in order to get a really big laugh, and it did get an enormous, probably the biggest laugh of the film.
It was pretty fun.
But yeah, it was great. But I just felt like after that, I couldn't really take Loki seriously as a threat.
No.
And that was a bit of a problem for me, where it took the stakes out of it a bit, where I was like, well, you know, Loki's not going to win this. He's not that threatening a villain. Whereas with the Joker or whatever, because they never made fun of him. They had funny moments with him.
Yeah.
But he was never the butt of the joke, which meant that he consistently had that level of threat.
Or whenever anyone else made him the butt of the joke, he ran a pen through their eyes.
They suffered quite poorly, yeah. So I'd be interested to see if Bane can live up to the joke. Maybe he can't. Maybe he won't be as great. But we'll have to see, I guess.
Yeah.
Say that.
Yeah. Could we talk a bit more about the Loki as a villain thing? I mean, it might be a bit of a spoiler there.
Yeah, thinking about the post-credits thing.
Well, that and sort of just throughout the film, looking back.
It is a spoiler. Okay.
Yeah, this is a spoiler, so we'll finish there, unless you have seen The Avengers, in which case feel free to listen.
We're not going to talk about anything else after this, if you haven't seen The Avengers, goodbye, we'll see you later. Yeah. If you have...
You're now the elite crew.
So, moving to spoiler territory. So, what are you thinking about?
Well, say that there's the people, Loki speaks to them at the start, the people that give him his army, essentially.
Yeah, Chitauri.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, when you say sort of Loki's not a strong villain, I sort of felt, especially by the end, he wasn't the real threat. I almost thought he was the one being played by them.
Right.
By
them, are we now talking about in the post-credit sequence we see Thanos?
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming he was the guy they were referring to throughout the film as the one that they were working for.
Yeah.
Working for Thanos.
He's clearly got this kind of master plan that he's working on.
So I thought it was, I don't know if I'm reading too much into it, but I saw it as Loki the Manipulator was being manipulated by Thanos, meaning Loki wasn't actually the real threat, he was just sort of the face that it was put on it for the film.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think they will probably come with that with the Avengers 2, where they'll say, you thought Loki was at the bottom of this? No, he's just a pawn in this guy's game, because obviously, when you look at Thanos, everyone else pales in comparison to his power. Like, Loki's nothing compared to him.
But Loki's a god.
Yeah, but I just feel like, taken as a standalone film with Loki as the villain, he was, most of the time, he still was a compelling threat. And it was only the fact that they had that moment with Hulk beating up so easily for comedy value, that at that point I was just like, well, you know, if the Hulk can take him so easily, they're not going to have a problem. You know, this is pretty much done. They've already won.
Also, I still haven't figured out why you couldn't make Iron Man turn evil.
Oh, with the scepter. Yeah.
Was it the arc reactor?
I assumed it was the arc reactor. Initially, I thought it was the wristbands he was wearing, but that was for the armor. So it must be something to do with the arc reactor, maybe something to do with the energy.
But that's what he was hitting.
I suppose they talked about the... I don't quite understand. Maybe... gonna watch it again, so maybe we'll understand.
It's one for wiki,
yeah, But no, it's interesting because, yeah, I just feel like Loki was a good villain. But I suppose the problem is that you know none of the Avengers can die.
Yeah.
So it's not like he poses a threat to them.
But he never could.
Yeah.
It was most threatening when he made Hawkeye go a bit mad.
Yeah. So, incidentally, sorry, I hadn't thought of talking about this, but I felt like the music in some of the Avengers was a bit weak. Like,
really?
I remember thinking, there's, you know, the scene when, yeah, he's taken over Hawkeye and the professor, and they're driving out, and there's that chase in the tunnel.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking that the music really didn't do anything to kind of elevate the excitement, and actually kind of, the music was kind of very bland. I never really noticed it. Mm. I know that sometimes you want music to just blend into the background. Yeah. When I think about Lord of the Rings, it feels like where the music is so integral to the how great the scene is that I can't imagine the battle of, you know, the bit where the Rohirrim charge down in outside Minas Tirith. I can't imagine that without the amazing score behind it, which really kind of makes it such a brilliant moment. Whereas the Avengers, I never felt like that. And I, you know, with the Dark Knight Rises, the Dark Knight prologue, and actually the Dark Knight Rises prologue, in both cases, the music does make the action kind of, it really gives it a bit more punch to it. The Avengers, I never got that. At the end, it didn't matter so much because the action was so brilliant.
Yeah.
That it basically didn't even need music. It just needed kind of like dramatic beats behind it. But with the car chase, the more kind of conventional action scene where it was a bit smaller, I really felt that the music did nothing to enhance it. I'd be interested to see if I'll watch it again and maybe it'll be better the next time. Because I only really appreciated Thor's score the second time I watched it. I hadn't noticed it the first time, and the second time I really noticed it, I really paid attention to it, I really enjoyed it. So maybe I'll get more out of it, but I don't know. I have no kind of clever basis for why I thought that. Maybe I'm totally wrong, but I just remember thinking it in the cinema.
It didn't stand out to me as an amazing score, but I didn't notice it being particularly lackluster.
All right, okay. Any more spoiler stuff we want to talk about while we have the chance?
Yeah. I mean, okay, what about if you reckon they do another Hulk film? How are they going to deal with the fact that now he can sort of... Because the first one was all about when him losing control, and now he can seemingly control it at will.
Yeah, yeah, so...
Because he's always
angry.
By the
end, he could just transform when he wanted. It would be interesting, because obviously it changes the dynamic slightly, where it's no longer something that he's terrified of all the time. Or maybe he still is. It's just that, yeah, he can now transform when he wants. And he, you know, when he falls and apparently aims for a deserted area just so that he doesn't hurt anyone, and, you know, he saves Iron Man. So is it clear that the Hulk isn't just this mindless beast? I can't remember if he was in The Incredible Hulk, if they had any moment where they showed he wasn't.
He shields Betty Ross.
Oh, does he? Okay. Bullet.
And there's a bit at the end when she kind of looks at him and they're supposed to be...
They've hinted at it. But, you know, by the end, he pretty much, you know, at the end when they've captured Loki, he's just standing with them. He's not even... doesn't even seem angry. He's just standing as the Hulk with the rest of the gang.
Well, would that
just
make
chilling.
Would that make a better film?
I think it'd be really interesting to kind of have the sense where now it's a tool he can almost utilise. You know, say the government had some conspiracy against him, he could now say, well, you know, I can take the fight to them. I can become the Hulk, be practically invulnerable, grab what I want, find out what I want, and then just transform back. So there could be that interesting element. But I think, you know, because the Hulk, I find it to be one of the less interesting characters until he's with other people. Which is why I think he works so well in the Avengers, is because you have the other guys kind of who can appreciate, so next to him you can appreciate how incredible the Hulk is. Whereas when he's just smashing, you know, loads of faceless soldiers, it's not quite as impressive.
No.
Although he obviously does do that in the Avengers. But
faceless alien soldiers.
Yeah, there's more of a build up to it, I guess. So it'd be interesting to see if they do change the dynamic that much. Mark Ruffalo signed on for 5 Hulk appearances. So,
is that including any post-credits?
I don't quite know what the extent of it is or whether it's 5 full films. So presumably they'll keep him for a couple of Avengers and then have
I reckon he'll appear. I'm I'm going to go out on a limb and say he'll appear in Captain America.
He can't be in Captain America.
Well, because I was...
Not a standalone film.
Well, whether they do that as well, I don't know. But I was thinking he's... I reckon they'd probably put Hulk in one of the others first.
Mm, I think that'd be a better
move. To test the water a bit more. And, you know, Iron Man doesn't really need Banner to do the science. So he'd be there as a smasher.
Yeah,
so and then Thor doesn't need the smasher and it's all magic anyway, so Banner's useless. So, but it's in Captain America, there's no one to really sort of carry the techno-babble in the same way.
Yeah.
Whereas Banner's character could do that and then Hulk could just be there to smash.
The only problem with that is, are they both, they're both kind of played the straight men in that, you know, you have Captain America and Banner quite serious, then Iron Man doing all the quips.
Yeah.
Having just two serious guys, you know, because Banner don't really have a massive sense of humour that I can remember, and Captain America is obviously quite earnest. I can see what you mean, that, yeah, having the tech head does have its advantages. I mean, I'd be interested to see if they do put him in another film. I think it would work better, him being in other films. And I feel that's, well, that's one road they could take to avoid having just Captain America by himself. Or any of them, like Hawkeye or Black Widow, whether they'll have a film for those.
I reckon that if they did that, they'd do a joint film.
Mm.
Although that said, at the end of Avengers, Hulk did go off with Iron Man, didn't he?
Yes, he did. So maybe that sets up. But I think you're right, you know, unless they love the idea of having lots of, you know, technical jargon back and forth.
I think you get too much, though.
Yeah.
I mean, there's quite a bit in the Iron Man.
And it doesn't really gel with what they were saying about Iron Man 3 being back to basics, no. You know, Tony Stark by himself. If you can call on the Hulk...
Unless that's how they're doing him not in the suit and still being able to have action scenes, is you have the Hulk carry the action.
Maybe. We'll see how, you know, it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, so we'll see how that goes. Yeah, because, you know, they've got the Nick Fury film coming up as well that they're apparently making, so maybe they'll have Black Widow and Hawkeye and that. We'll just have to see how it goes.
That makes sense.
All right, so I think that's everything. So we'll get back to you in a few more days if anything exciting happens. But we were going to have a Dark Knight Rises, but that's now done. So we'll have to see how it goes.
It'll have to be something that happens.
Okay, cool. Yeah. See you later.